And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. So, Dave, we had a few primaries this week. I don't think anything dramatic happened, but there's always tells in everything. There were results. And I think the results, on the Trump side, I think the results show a little bit of trouble for Trump.
Yeah. I mean, given that these elections are, the primaries are really over. I mean, the nominations are not in doubt. They're secured. There are still folks who are voting against the presumptive nominees. And there are more folks voting against Trump than against Biden, or not for Trump as opposed to not for Biden. And I guess the big issue is, will these voters come home when they, you know, when the real election comes about in November? Or is this a sign of permanent discontent? You know, the people that don't vote for Trump or Biden in the primaries, they have two choices. Either they can not vote at all, or they can vote, you know, they can vote for a candidate. And, you know, someone will say, look, I'm a Republican and I'm going to vote for Trump. Someone will say, I'm a Democrat and I'll vote for Biden. Right now, Trump's enthusiasm seems to be greater than Biden's. But you don't know. You don't know. Never Trumpers in the Republican Party be a significant enough factor? I mean, we've heard a lot of Republican office holders and former office holders say, I can't stand Trump, or he's not good for the country, or he shouldn't have another term. And then they say, but I'm a Republican and I'm going to vote for him. the question is, how many of them is there?
Well, it's the Haley people. That's on one ideological spectrum of the Republican Party. But how about the people who are supporting Robert Kennedy?
Yeah.
He apparently is drawing Republicans more than Democrats. Now, I don't know if it really matters that he polls right now at 18-19%. Everybody who looks at that says doesn't mean anything. If it doesn't mean anything, why do they keep doing the polls? It must mean something. Maybe it doesn't mean anything because there's plenty of time to change that. But that doesn't mean that there's something that doesn't have to be changed.
Right.
But the people who have to be changed apparently are mostly Republicans, not mostly Democrats.
Well, his appeal does lean a little bit towards the disaffected or the disbelieving on a number of issues. You know, the vaccine issue as it came up with COVID, and the pro-Russian stuff that he's tended to spout. So it's hard to pinpoint exactly, where his candidacy is on a number of issues. He kind of goes between both parties. There's time for this thing to play itself out. Of course, his other problem is getting on the ballot. Doesn't matter if he's not on the ballot in certain states. I mean, if he gets on the ballot in Idaho, who cares?
Right, right.
Or Alabama, who cares? If he's on the ballot in Nevada, that's a different story. That's a close race.
Yeah, Nevada is a state that's in play, and that's one of the key states.
Right.
I don't know if he has a chance to get on the ballot in Wisconsin or in Michigan. I don't think he can get on the ballot in Pennsylvania. It's impossible.
You haven't heard any, the way the ballot is. The only way he gets on is if he becomes the nominee of a party that's gotten...
That's right. He could get the Libertarian nominee, then he'd be on the ballot in Pennsylvania, or he could be.
And he's sort of splitting the Libertarians, because he's not a true Libertarian. And whether they're using him or he's using them, or both, we'll have to see. And we should note the other thing this week, that the No Labels finally gave up on trying to field a candidate.
So where did their people go? Do they have people?
I don't think they had any people.
Well, that could be. Well, they have...
That's some money from Republicans.
Yeah, they have Joe Manchin.
They had Joe Manchin, and they had Joe Lieberman. And
but nobody has Lieberman now.
No, not a lot of... Not a lot of left, so they're a non-factor. Now there's something else that could be a factor this year, and that's the votes on issues that have been making it to the election. The Republicans played this very well for a number of years, where they put on these socially triggering types of ballots to get their people out in key states. And now the Democrats are doing this mostly over the abortion issue. And, everything I've been seeing, everything I've been hearing from Democratic operatives and Democratic pollsters is that issue, even if it's not on the top of people's minds, still brings the most passion to people and has the potential of bringing the most people out. And we've seen, even in the reddest of states, whenever it's on the ballot, it tends to pick up 57% of the vote, which means there's a lot of Republicans that vote for it. Now, where this is going to make a difference, it depends. Florida, it just made it to the ballot. And I don't think that it puts Biden in play, but it might put the Tim Scott election in play. The polling I've seen is that it's fairly close. And Scott also has that issue over Social Security. So we'll see how that is. I think it's on the ballot also in Michigan and Nevada, maybe Arizona. And so the question is, will it bring people out? I don't think there's any doubt about that. Will they just vote for the issue and then pick or ignore a candidate? That's the big question.
The Democrats, who in Florida are not a very well-organized group.
Well, they're better than they were 4 years ago. But they're still having... a lot of problems. We're still having a lot of problems down there. They've blown it, in essence.
Yeah.
You just have to see. You just have to see where there's still, 6 or 7 months for this thing to play out.
Well, right. That's why we have campaigns.
Yeah.
That's the point.
That's
of the
why
campaign.
We have elections. You don't elect on polls. You elect on.
Right.
On the actual ballots. Elect on the actual ballots.
Well, then the Republicans now are playing games in Nebraska.
Yes, they're just going to go there. Nebraska is one of two states, Maine being the other one, where it's not a winner-take-all of the votes. That they have five votes in Nebraska, and the way they work it is two votes go to whoever wins the state, and then the other three votes go according to whoever wins the congressional district. And in the last, I think it was the last election, around Omaha, the Democrats picked up a vote. It works similarly in Maine, but the Republicans in Nebraska want to change it. I think, what is it, back to the winner take all?
That's what they want to do. They want to make it winner take all.
Which means that all five votes rather than four out of five votes.
Right. They pick up one vote.
But in a close election, one vote could matter.
Absolutely.
And it shows that they've got pretty good campaign thinking. That they're the people that are running the Trump campaign are pros from everything I've heard. The problem with the Trump campaign has, of course, is the candidate. So you have to see how that is. You know, he continues to be a problem in you know, going after judges' families and things like that. There's just another gag order. You know, he's selling things. He's selling sneakers. My X account, formerly my Twitter account, I keep getting all these things. He's selling these, like, they look like baseball-type cards or collectible cards with his image on it, so looking like they're supposed to be valuable.
Well, did you get a copy of the book that he authored with his signature? I mean, the Bible?
We talked about that last week. Yeah. I already have Bibles.
Oh, you have a Bible. So you didn't need that one.
I didn't need that one. Of course, we have that. He's it's incredible. Everything he's selling, sneakers and...
He's far from broke. He's far from having to do that. First of all, Truth Social, which went public, got him $3 billion added wealth because of the fact that he owns, 70% of the stock.
Right.
And the Truth Social may be a scam. It may be one of the great Ponzi schemes of this century. But in the meanwhile, he's benefiting from it.
It's not Ponzi scheme. It's a securities scam. It's a company that doesn't have any real numbers. I mean, what are they had annual income of $4 million, and the company is
big. Revenue. Their whole revenue was $4 million. Yeah.
Right.
And the company was valued at what, $10 billion?
Somewhere around there.
Yeah. Well, and, to me, if you're a clever stock investor, that was a great short.
If
you could have shorted that at $70 or $75, and that would have been earlier in the week, tonight you could have made 30 points.
Yeah, that's the thing. I heard an interesting analysis by Stephanie Ruhle, because the way Trump is pumping it up, it sounds like a pump and dump scheme. And she said, yes, but the way Trump has set up the company is he's not an officer and he's not a director. So whether the SEC rules on pump and dump apply to him is somewhat problematic.
They probably don't apply to him, and he probably can't get tagged for pumping and dumping. But that doesn't mean he doesn't make an enormous amount of wealth unless the thing really tanks and ends up at $2 before his 6 months are up. You know, he has 6 months before he can sell any of the stock.
Right.
But if the thing really goes to nowhere, declines to nothing, then he doesn't have any wealth from that.
What you have to do is, if the stock is over that initial valuation of $17.50 for 20 days, he gets extra. He gets a lot of extra shares.
And, you know, this whole scheme was dreamed up by these two fellas who were once on his show, The Apprentice. And they came to him and sold it to him and said, you know, let's have your, we can do this. If you go on it, we'll have a great company. and we'll give you half of it. Anyway, he negotiated more than half, but they were going to get, I don't know, 15%. After all, they thought it up, and they organized, and they did it all. Today, he's suing them to remove all of the shares that they were supposed to get, so they should end up with nothing after having worked for a couple of years, done whatever people do, to accumulate this vast amount of wealth for him, and to produce a valuation which was out of sight, billions and billions and billions of dollars, them thinking that they'll cash in too, and they learn, just like everybody else who deals with this crook learns, he gets and you don't.
Right. And people never learn that. It's like the lawyers.
But because the people who work for him aren't like him. And they believe in him. And it doesn't occur to them that he's a totally dishonest person, because if they thought that, they would never have been in his orbit to begin with. They only joined up to get the crumbs off the table.
Well, yeah, but what does he attract? What kind of people does he attract?
Yeah, grifters.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, bad news for the Association of Grifters who are associated with him. And now that the stock is falling, you can't even short it, because stock has to rise before you can short. So now it just looks like a dead loss.
Well, that's where it's headed.
That's where it's headed.
That's where it's headed. So. Except for the people that were, they're buying it to show the libs that...
so they're getting a psychic advantage.
Yeah.
But most of the people who invest money do it for money.
Yeah. But we had all those young people that were doing it for AMC and for games.
But a lot of those people made money.
Yeah.
They went into it to make money. They didn't go into it not to make money. They went into it to make money, and they did. But with this business, with Trump, people are doing it to make an ideological point, and they're going to... I don't say they'll go broke, but a lot of people are going to lose out. How about Jeffrey Yeh? He's a big shareholder in this, right?
Yeah. He's got the holding company, I guess.
Yeah.
they never learn, and it's never enough. It's never enough. We started talking about the people that have, had. Negative consequences this week. Another couple lawyers took it on the chin. John Eastman and Jeffrey Clark in District of Columbia, one being disbarred and the other one maybe headed that way. It's going to be disciplined. Just get in line if you were one of his lawyers. Very few of them have come out unscathed in this.
What do you make about the struggle between Jack Smith and the judge down in Florida?
Yeah, Judge Cannon.
Loose cannon.
Loose cannon is a good word for it. She's got to be watching herself, because the one thing is she doesn't want to make a ruling that causes the 11th Circuit to disqualify her from hearing the case. They've already chastised her.
Hasn't she basically gotten there now? I mean, she asks both sides to submit jury instructions about issues that are not in this case and laws which don't have anything to do with the case. That strikes me as beyond the pale.
Yeah. But it's, I think she's still one opinion away from that. And it was interesting, though, that she did make one ruling against Donald Trump this week. And every other judge that's ruled against him has felt his wrath on social media, but not her.
Right.
But not her.
Right.
And once again, it's... she's different from all of the other judges that have been hearing this case.
And speaking about the attacking judges, Elise Stefanik joined the crowd this weekend, attacking the New York judge who's trying Trump's case, the Stephanie Daniels case. She announced that the judge was crooked and all the things that Trump said and now can't say, she said.
Well, you know, she's running for vice president.
Yeah, she's running for vice president. This was her audition.
This was her audition. I mean, everybody else has had auditions on some of these things, whether truthful or not. One of our congressmen, Riefenstahler, from Pennsylvania, came up with a new idea to earn Trump's pleasure, that he wants to rename Dulles Airport in Washington, D.C. after him.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea.
Yeah, but Jerry Connolly, who's a Virginia member of the House of Representatives, and Jared Moskowitz, it was really Connolly's idea, but they're sponsoring another bill in Congress instead to name a federal prison in Miami after him. They think it's more appropriate.
Well, who actually decides on the name of the airport?
Well,
if it's Pete Buttigieg, I don't think they're going to change the name.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure how the where the naming is. I don't know who controls that airport. Whether it's not in D.C., I think it's in Virginia, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so I'm not sure. There's usually an authority that has these things.
Well, so, I mean, do we ever name things after living people?
Not generally. But there was a courthouse in Scranton that was named after a judge while he was still alive, the William Neyland Courthouse. Federal courthouse had his name. He's since passed away, but he was the longest-serving district judge in the country. And they decided to honor him. But usually you don't have, after living people. There's some places where there's actually laws that says you can't name certain things after a living person.
Well, we're perilously close to dangerous things happening. I mean, we had an earthquake in New York. We got an eclipse over the whole country. Marjorie Taylor Greene is pointing out that God is sending America strong signs to tell us to repent. Earthquakes and eclipses and many more things to come. That's what she wrote.
Well, you know, with these folks, it always only works one way. You know, it's always because of something that the liberals want that's driving bad things to happen. It's never that conservatives do bad things.
No, of course not. No, you know, because they're doing what they're told to do by God. Sure.
Sort of like that old thing from Massachusetts. Remember the cabins speak only to lodges, and lodges speak only to God.
Only to God, right? Yes.
Or vice versa. I can't remember which one had the direct line.
The one that didn't was, you know, on a party line.
It was a party line.
Right.
Well, you had Henry Cabot Lodge, a couple of names. So, with Richard Nixon. So, anyway, you just, every day something comes up. The country is going to be worn out by Election Day. In November, and
well, supposing they are worn out. Supposing people are worn out and they don't vote, then what?
Oh, that's
who will not vote more?
I got to believe that's the Democrats are less likely to vote than the Republicans.
Less likely.
Yeah, less likely. You know, it's interesting also, you know, we have the write-in votes. And you might get people saying, look, I'm just going to vote early and then I don't have to worry about this. The Republicans have been trying, particularly in Pennsylvania, to get people to do the write-ins. And they're not being very successful. It's still overwhelmingly Democrats who are asking for write-in votes and who are casting write-in votes.
Well, Republicans have a problem. Trump's been campaigning against write-in votes for 4 years.
Right.
So it has to be very confusing to his people to now be told, do the mail-in ballot. They've got to be confused by that. So why would they do it?
Yeah.
It's not easy to turn movements around quickly.
No. Or people's habits.
Yeah.
People's habits. I mean, I always vote in person. I think it's just a show of a statement that I'm making rather than that I'm showing up. Maybe it goes back to being, you know, the old town meeting day in Vermont, you know, where one day a year that everybody votes up and they vote on issues affecting their towns directly rather than representative democracy. But I think I like to be there in person on that. The problem is the way they count the votes, that they don't count any of the write-in votes in many places in advance.
I think it's against the law in Pennsylvania to count them in advance.
It is. And, of course, we had that ruling last week that said that that the date has to be on the outside of the envelope, the
right.
date you mail it.
Right. Right.
So there's a whole thing about trying to get people to not only vote, but to do it in the correct manner.
And speaking about voting, people are always trying to remind people who don't want to vote that the courts are run by appointees of the people who get elected. So if you don't elect the people you think ought to be elected, the judges who get appointed will be your enemies. They'll be the enemy of everything that's good for you. And we could have seen that happening this week when the Conference of Judges suggested to all the nation's judges that they not allow judge shopping, that they pass rules so that you don't have a situation like you have in Texas where one judge, one reactionary Trump judge, sits on all of the cases that deal with abortion and rules them all unconstitutional. Fritz Marek. And the Texas bar said, that's very interesting, we're not going to change. So,
well, it's Texas, you know.
Right, but they're judges. These are judges. And, you know, people have a reverence for judges. They say, well, they're smart guys. They're no different than you and me. They got ideologies, they got political opinions, and they do things guided by their ideology. Everybody does.
Well, let me tell you, I mean, as someone who's been in front of a lot of judges in a lot of places, very often, you know, in Pennsylvania, we elect our judges. They're not appointed.
But that's different.
Yeah. Rather than the federal judges. But even elected, you go out to these suburban counties, and it's really hard to get a judge that gives a break to plaintiffs or to criminal defendants.
Yeah.
Most of the judges are former DAs. You know, no one ever got elected to the court saying, I'm not going to be tough on crime.
That's right. That's exactly right. All right. Well, that's it for this week.
Yeah, this is an interesting week coming up. A lot of anniversary dates. We can talk about that next week.
And we got to see if God will destroy the earth, because we do have the eclipse.
Yes. Yes. And I intend to get to some place where it's 100%.
All right. So if it goes, you'll go first.
We'll go first.
All right. Well, I hope you don't go.
All right. If not, then we won't see you next week.
That's right. Then we won't see you. But I'm looking forward to seeing you.
All right.
Correct. All right. Bye.
Have a good week. Bye.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.